Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Charles Wright again, his wonderful new book, Lord Have Mercy, Up From Where We've Come. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear in the Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to LOTO Radio the legendary Mr. Charles Wright. Brother Wright, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh,
there you can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you coming in crystal clear. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I'm afraid I'm moving, so I'm on my cell phone, so I might have a little problem. Otherwise, I'm fine.
All right. First of all, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, man. I know it's still a little bit early on the West Coast, but I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us. And congratulations, man, on a wonderful new book, man. Your journey, incredible. Some of the things that I've read in a book, and you're still standing tall and still making fantastic music, man. When you went in, as far as working on the book, it seems like you had a lot more to say, but you were running out of the right world. What was your thought process when you started on the book?
Well, I started years ago, but I procrastinated a lot. And actually, I couldn't cram a whole life into a one single volume, so you got what I had for that book till I was 12. And I vividly remember most of the stuff that happened in my childhood, so I wrote it down.
Well, it definitely comes across. I mean, you've been in the music industry and been doing music for a long time. You've seen things change. You've seen, as far as the smaller record labels disappear, a lot of the major record labels are gone. From your experience, what have you taken from it? What have you learned as far as just being an entrepreneur, being a businessman, as far as being able to circumvent where you not have to deal with the major labels, but still get your product out there and let people know that you're still making music?
Well, I'm thankful I am, but sometimes I think it's useless because it kills the most beautiful thing that happened to me. And actually, we brought it here, and everybody else wanted to claim it, so he destroyed it. And technology, of course, fit in with that too. But I still make music, but I don't get the kind of attention I think I should, because they very few discharges got the power to play a record without somebody tell them what to play.
Well, you know what? That's the great thing about being an independent radio host and having your own station, because you can sit up here, you have the power to play what you want to play. And that's one of the things that I'm truly proud of, is that as far as designing a platform and format for great artists like you, when you do have music out, that the listeners have an opportunity to hear and know that you're still around and still making great music, man. So this is for you and all the great artists that I grew up listening to in South Central Los Angeles. So we're here, brother. It's not a problem, you know. We still need, we're here to fulfill that need.
I appreciate you, and I congratulate you, because you are now a rare breed. But, yes, There are few people, very few though.
Yeah.
To make an impact, you need a lot of play. And I just can't seem to get it anymore because of the fact that I'm frustrated. I shouldn't know there are people like you around.
Well, like a great American poet once said, just something to make you feel good, brother, that's all it is.
Very good. Very good, brother.
Just something to make you feel good, to be some beautiful man.
It was all about feeling good.
If it don't fit, don't force it. But we're gonna make you feel good one way or another, man. That's what we're here to do. Doing your era of music, man. Go right ahead.
Here you had my friend on yesterday from the 50th.
Yes, beautiful brother. Beautiful brother.
Yeah.
Beautiful brother.
Great photographer, too.
Yes, absolutely. 50 years of Jet Magazine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is. I mean, like you said, you know, things have changed. I remember, you know, growing up in South Central Los Angeles, you had all the different, you know, mom and pop record stores. You can go get your 45s. And now that's all gone. Everything is so reliant for an independent artist to get the music out there via social media. Have you become comfortable or accustomed with working social media to get your music out there?
Yeah, well, somebody really had to be honest all the time to make that work. Because I have people on it. Nothing like radio, man. Nothing like radio.
Yeah, this is true. This is definitely true. I was telling Lamont yesterday, I said, I sure missed that personal interaction. When you go to the record store, and there's a good chance the artist would have a meet and greet, and that's no longer, it's no longer there, or you could turn to old stations, like, you know, as far as K-Day and KGFJ, and you could listen, you know, to real R&B, you know, we want an R&B shaken but not stirred. You know, so it's definitely missing. But I said, when I get you on the show, I gotta ask you, man. You put out a single about an ugly woman, man. Oh man, I listened to the song and looked at the video. Man, that was it's true, and it was incredible. What made you come up with that particular song, man?
A jive pretty woman. I want to say jive ain't pretty woman, but jive pretty.
And high maintenance. I was saying the other one, the high maintenance woman.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. A couple of Mississippi Delta, you know, and I had a little blues in them. Not because it's what I heard, because when I was growing up, my father would not allow us to listen to secular music. And I actually didn't hear it until I came to Los Angeles, until I was about 14 years old. And I started listening to the Honey Hancock radio show. Before then, I didn't know nothing about secular music very much. So, but I still somehow feel blues, you know. Most all the great blues players from the come from where I come from. Like Ron Coltrane.
I remember my dad had told me many, many years ago, he said, the blues ain't nothing but a good man for the bad. That's all it is, man.
That's
what a good thing.
Could I go back to what you were talking about a minute ago? Back in the day when we could really have some great music. The guys who made music more did not get paid, okay? But the music was such a great thing for the community. You could walk down the street and you hear Donna Washington, Brooke Benny, somebody coming out of somebody's house, you need only a little record player. And you can go all the way down any street almost, and somebody's mom be in there cooking, you can smell food. Whole family was around, we don't care, everybody has to be a part of this family that didn't have a daddy. But it was a time when, even though we didn't have all our civil rights, it was better than Vietnam, as far as our mentality is concerned.
It was interesting that you mentioned that, and I mentioned that to my mom yesterday. I said, you know, I find it very interesting. History never changes. It just repeats itself. It goes in cycles. And I said, if you look where we are now, as far as the civil unrest in this country, with the amount of racism, the amount of quote-unquote blatant segregation, it's incredible. And during that time of music, you have music with a common bond. It can bring and unite different cultures together. It erased racism, you know what I mean? It erased it. And now there's no, as I said before, there's no balance right now. There's no balance where you have a music, a genre, like you say, you can turn on the radio and hear some Charles Bright, or you can hear some other great artists saying something with substance, and that's lost right now. I know at some point that has to be very disheartening for you, where you've given so much of yourself to the music and not being able to get the necessary airplay.
You're very sensitive, though. And you're absolutely right. You know, it hasn't went up for music is concerned. We went way down. So it's saying, they're making music, you're making assimilated music. It's only been the scene. The scene has no heart. So all of our music have made by human beings, not by the scene.
Right. It's just like I know I'm dating myself. We're both 21, so I can say this. I remember, you know, my mom and dad's house, we had this floor model stereo that had little lights that would shoot off in front of it.
Yeah.
And it was something special and unique going to the record store, getting that 45 or 33 or that 78 and bringing it, putting that needle in that shh, and hearing that music just permeate through the speakers.
That's a lovely picture you painted, man, in the past, though.
Oh, man, it was a beautiful experience, you know. All the neighbors, we all knew one another, families knew one another, kids played together. And music was the united comfort, man, and you have attributed to that greatly. Do you realize how important your music is playing a part in our communities?
Well, I mean, sort of, yeah. I'm reminded a lot about that. My purpose was to make the best music I could for the people that I always had for that. And I used to have problems with my band sometimes because they wanted to sell for a little less, but I wouldn't allow them to do it. You know, we had to do it best. And there's lots of music that we played, recorded in the archives at Warner Brothers because I would bring to another band. We did Love Man at least 40 times. Not 40 times in a day, 40 different days to try to get that right. And the problem was one of the guys that didn't like it, so he kept messing it up. One day, I just tricked him into doing it, and when we did, and he came out extra, and that's what we put on Mark. There's about 40 other verses back there that are not worthy as far as I'm concerned, and I hope they never heard. I tried to make sure that I gave people excellent work, and then my music was always in tune.
You know what? I want to touch on something that you said just a minute ago that I find very interesting and very telling, as far as where we're at now musically. Where you said, you know, everything with the technology can be good, and it can be also bad. It just depending on how we use it. We have a tendency in this world to abuse things. And I think it takes away from the rawness of being able to go and create and actually play, pick up an instrument. And now everything is automated. I remember, like I said, even to this day, there's nothing better than when your mother's in the kitchen and she's cooking and she's putting it in that gas oven. It has a different flavor. It's a different amount of love involved instead of taking something and putting it in a microwave. And yeah. I think we're living in a microwave society. A true musician, how do you want your legacy to be remembered as an artist and as a pioneer in music?
I'm not on no ego trip about what I do it because I love it and I try to give it the best of it to the people. And I thank God is in control of what I do. It's not for me to determine how I'm going to be looked at at this point. It's strictly up to God, and I know they tell me the clean will always rise to the top. I might be dead and gone, but I'll still be rising to the top.
Absolutely. Hey, I wanted to tell you, when you came on the show, I purchased actually some music from you. This was about, oh God, maybe a little bit over, maybe 2 years ago. You did an album, or the compilation is called My Love Affair with Doo-Wop.
Yeah.
And man. Oh man, it took me back. I said, you know, where's my perm? I said, let me grow my hair back. Let me get my perm back. Kind of fried and laid to the side. I was feeling extra good. I was.
Thank you very much. I'm glad somebody liked that album because I know it's not. It's the time is gone by. What they do is they fake the music out after they use and fuss up at nothing and learn enough about what we're doing and then they fade it out and forced to create something new, and that's what I was forced to do. But I was in three different doo-wop groups who had hit records, each one of them. And I think that is the music, the beautiful, peaceful music, which us in the civil rights movement, we don't realize that. But what I do now, I do doo-wop too. Matter of fact, that was a song in myself. And it's on that album called Doo-Wop Man. And I just want to remind people of how great that music was. I often forget if you like it. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, no. It's my pleasure. I mean, from you, the Whispers, the Isley Brothers, these groups started out as doo-wop groups. Sing on the street corners. Yeah, these are doo-wop groups. These are doo-wop groups, and that's why I said I have a greater appreciation of what it takes to get out there and respect the art form. And I think a lot of us today, as far as the younger society today, we have a tendency to take things for granted because we want everything just handed to us. We don't want to put in the necessary work to do the necessary things to get what we want. It's like when you as a pioneer lay down the foundation or the blueprint on what it takes, I don't think it's sad when you have people that don't even really know where the music started or where it came from. When I first heard your sample of Express Yourself and N.W.A. had sampled it, how did that come to be?
I don't know if that was 25 years ago. They thought I just thought I was dead. But I keep laying down as a writer on Express Yourself. And I had to go up there and take it down. But that's actually what happened. To be honest with you, I didn't really turn music off.
Right.
My wife is with me in faith. My laundry is dried up to wash my dirty bed at that time. And I told my wife I'm going to go get a job. She was going to have she asked the bank and she called Mary God to come in and see an emergency part of the bank. And he gave her a call. He had a trucking company. And he called him and inquired about a job. So I called him and after about 30 minutes we talked about his truck driving job he had for me. And we were conversation, he asked me, what have you been doing before? I said, I've been in music. He said, you ain't teach y'all right, honey. I said, I think I am. I hung up the phone. Next 2 or 3 days, he called back. I said, okay, I want to go to the record store and see what this is about. So one time I saw, it just so happened, this little guy next door to me came by and coming home from work with a blasting on his radio, and he pulled into the driveway. I'm like, man, that's my song. Man, he old school. This is a new deal. Yeah. I'm just not talking. I'm old school, man. You know, give me that. He had a pen that tape. Give me that box. So I got it. You said that would show you who wrote this one. Anyway, I expressed myself by Ice Cube. It was written by Ice Cube.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I went in and called the company and they told me, totally didn't think they could get rid of that. You know, you didn't ask you to know that I called to straighten that out.
I know music like yours was prevalent as far as being sampled by so many hip-hop artists, but the blessing is that now we have great artists like yourself. The money's being recouped and being justified, recouped in a manner where it's like, hey, look, I want to be paid and compensated when you're sampling my music, especially if you're doing it without my permission. And now when I listen to your song, now we got the new movie, the Emoji movie that's coming out by Sony Pictures this August. How did that come to be when they chose your song to play an important part in this movie?
I don't know, this will be about the 33rd movie again, but it's done by 80 TV commercials around the world. I think it says written by me, that's the only thing I could see. And my version is as clear as it can be. Nobody liked it when I first recorded. I recorded the track. Actually, one of the other guitar players, Al McKay, who came in with 125, he didn't like it. So we went in the studio and tried recording this stuff. And I contacted what I told him to play. So it's not all going to tell me at the moon, my drummer, my bass player, myself. And then on the track. And so we started recording the studio. I brought it home the next day, called the horn player, told him to learn the horn for it. And they didn't want to be on. That's unintelligent.
After he said,
I'm going to go get some of my studio buddy, because I used to get studio music. I said, well, they're going to be bad to pay them. Friends. And grandma was the only player. He recorded it and became actually the president of the record company. He didn't like it. we were working in a sister's club in Detroit, and Pitch Out Your Own. I think his name was Ken Bell. I gave him the first copy. They sent two copies to me as well. We were working in a club, gave him a copy. He took it in the office and said, he came out. I think he made a mistake, Charles. No, I'm just going to do it. He said, my own thing, because you got to do it. That's a good job from here. And I don't know how anybody thinks that, but maybe it was a little different from what everybody had heard before, and they couldn't relate. So anyway, the record has done a number of the songs that people try to undermine me, come to Madonna, everybody tried to take it, and what actually, she tried to have a TV special. She was not going to a special. And I would not allow it because she was so huge, people would be taking my version.
She did. You know? Right.
Yeah. So I assumed everybody kicked all the big wheels and the rest of the company, TV people, they kicked me, but they were angry because I wasn't doing what I knew better.
That's why they call it the music business and put the emphasis on business. On business.
Yeah, I have a chapter in my next book called From the Cotton Patch to the Record Field.
There you go. My goodness. People that kind of sit back there on the outside looking in, they don't remember that there was a time where you had to pay for play to get your music.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of people don't realize that. They say, oh, it's about the music, you get airplay. No. There was a time where you had to pay for play. You had different record labels that had a monopoly on certain radio stations to make sure that their artists was getting exclusive airplay. There are not a lot of black owned radio stations anymore, and I mean, it's obvious that has hurt black artists like yourself. It really has. It's just, and that's one of the things I said when we came up with this about, what, 7 years ago, I said I wanted to create a format and a platform for artists that I grew up listening to and idolizing. Well, we knew what great music was. It was about substance, like you said, express yourself. To me, express yourself is being original, being true to who you are and whatever you choose to do.
You know, something? I had a radio show myself, you know, doing that a year before that.
Okay.
And they want more shows, like they don't have time to do it for a station in Richmond. But then, and my format was the music that I grew up on. So you amazing.
Right.
You really know that.
That's all we were surrounded by. You know, I grew up on 67th Street and Broadway in South Central Los Angeles. So that's...
I know that.
Yes, Lord. In Houston. I'm in Houston, Texas. I've been here now for about 10 years. About 10 years.
Oh,
about 10 years, yeah. I've been going down to Leimert Park, Bays of Ricky Zinn. Oh, it was a beautiful thing.
It's changing now. You know who Barbara Morrison is?
Yes, I do.
Barbara Morrison, man, is an amazing person.
Incredible jazz singer. Incredible.
She's more than that. She's an entrepreneur. She got to perform the arts and all that. She's opening up a museum. She's going away from her performing the arts. This lady has had both legs amputated. And she said she does a gig at least 5 days a week somewhere in the world. She is an amazing person. I admire her. That's what's happening over there right now. One of the nice things happening. they moved the World Stage across the street. It's still smaller now than it was then, I think. It never was too big. That's the one book there. Yeah.
Man, I was just saying that just shows you type of perseverance someone has. Yeah. You make excuses for the little things. You have someone that has both of their legs amputated, but that doesn't stop her from doing her thing.
No, she even makes jokes about it. I mean, that lady is a phenomenal lady. And I support her as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a beautiful thing. And speaking of beautiful and exquisite things, for those who have never had the opportunity to see the legendary Charles Wright perform, you're going to get that chance, because on February the 25th at 3 p.m., of course, that's Pacific Standard Time, he'll be joining the incredible Barbara Morrison at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. They'll be doing their thing. Charles Wright of the 103s, yeah. Concerts and bookings and signs. So I'm going to have to either get on a camel, a plane, a train to get back to L.A. to come check this.
She's performing as well. She's going to be in an hour. I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And to get all your ticket information, this is what you need to do. Be sure you stop by Charles Wright's official website. That's at expressyourself.net. And while you're there, listen to me. If you can afford to spend $200 on a pair of tennis shoes, you know that you can spend that kind of money on some quality music. So while you're there, click on the albums tag and get lost in some soulful music, man. Things are going to make you move, because we want our music shaken but never stirred. And also be sure to stop by Amazon. Purchase the new book, Up From Where We've Come. An incredible, incredible, incredible book. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. This is your home. Whatever you need from me, please do not hesitate to let me know. We love you. We revere you. And most importantly, I respect everything that you've done by being a pioneer in music, man. I definitely respect you. We got you. We love you. We support you.
I really appreciate that. All I can ask now, you've been very gracious. Just sign something in my CD that you like and play the hell out of it. I appreciate that.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into it, man. Hey, like you said, Express Yourself, the one and only legendary Mr. Charles Wright, here in the zone of LOTL Radio. Lord.
Yeah.
Charles White will be performing live February the 25th at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Barbara Mason Performing Arts Center. That's at 4305 Dinegan, D-E-G-A-N Boulevard, Suite 101. That's in Los Angeles, in Cali. Zip code 9008. And remember, to purchase the tickets, go to Charles White's official website. That's at expressyourself.net. And also, family, be sure to purchase his fantastic new book, Up From Where We Come. It is available as we speak on Amazon.com. Brother, all I can say in closing, hashtag keep it soulful, man, and definitely funky.
Thank you. Man, thank you very much. I'm glad to meet you.
Oh, man, the pleasure sincerely. Oh my, then we're going to be, remember family, go to the website and purchase some Charles Wright music. So it is written, so it shall be done. Much continued success, my brother. And again, we're here for you. Whatever you need, just let me know and we got you, okay?
Thank you very much. God bless you and your audience.
All right. God bless the legendary Charles Wright here in the zone. Hello to your radio. My goodness, everybody here in the studio was moving and grooving. Woo! Took me back to South Central Los Angeles. It was definitely a beautiful thing. Lord have mercy. Express yourself. Well, we're here to express yourself on a very soothing basis.